Would you just stand with me for a moment? Father, I just bring the word before you, God. Oh, God. I just enter into your throne room, Father. We want to bless you. We want to please you. We want to speak, oh, God, about holy things, Lord God. Father, we just want to really hit the mark in this time, in this hour. Be so connected with your heart. We love you so much, and we are your church. We are your church, oh God, looking up at you, looking for the return of our Lord. And Father, I would just ask, God, that you would just feed us this morning. As Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep. You would just, God, download, Lord, into us a new and fresh and vibrant, active word. Jesus is the word, the truth and the life. We thank you, Father, that you're drawing us closer and closer as time is going by. We bless you, Lord God. We want to please you, Lord. So, Father, just ask that you would give us an anointing, me an anointing, to speak and us an anointing to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Oh, God has just been, I don't know, I feel like he's surrounding the church. And I feel that he is sensitizing the church to be more sensitive to him, to his heart in this hour. And I believe that God is speaking. Spirit of God is speaking. The Holy Spirit is speaking to the church. And do we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches? Yes, we do. Yes, we've been called. We've been refined. We're tuning into him. I don't know. I'm just so excited about the season that we're living in. A lot is going to be happening. A lot of good. A lot of good, because God is good, good, good. In the worst of times, God is good. You know, I wanted to speak this morning about David in the Word of God. David was so in love with God and so honored God. And he was so ready to be raised up. He was a shepherd out in the fields. And he played songs. Songs came to him. He worshiped God. He walked with God. And David could say, the reason God delivered me from all my enemies, from all my sorrows, and the powers of hell is because I am precious to him. That's from the Word of God. He said, the reason why is that I'm precious to him. Isn't that, do we realize that? Do we realize we are so precious to God? In Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 6, the Lord says of his bride, how fair and how pleasant art thou. These words describe Jesus' thoughts toward his bride, and he beholds her, and she can boast, the bride can say, I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. It's so important to believe these personal scriptures. I belong to my beloved, and his heart is toward me. He's in love with me. He delivers me from all my enemies, from my sorrows, and from the power of hell, because I am precious to him. My God delights in me. Isn't that good? Fuel for thought, food for thought, whatever. Isn't that good to realize this? We feel so special, not in ourselves, but because God sees us that way, because he loves us so much. He loves us so much. You know, one of my sons was very hard to handle. He had a temper that was unbelievable at birth. Isn't that strange? The head nurse came to me the night before I was going home and said to me, "Do you have a lot of patients?" I said, "I think so." "Do you have help at home?" "My husband helps me." "Do you have other children?" "I have three others." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "We see babies that have bad tempers, but we have never seen a temper on a baby like this." She said, "So just think about that." I said, "Okay." And I thought to myself, foolishly, I thought to myself, "Oh, when I get him home," this is my fourth baby. "Oh, when I get him home, you know, everything will be fine." Well, I got him home, and I thought I would go gray in like a couple of months because he never stopped screaming. He was always angry, screaming, screaming, screaming. I would walk him during the night, walk him during the day, hug him, do this, do that. And if you went to feed him, oh my Joey, he's so precious, believe me. If you went to feed him with the spoon, and you just like, let's say he had a little bit of baby food over here, and you just touched him over here to clean it away, because it didn't go right in his mouth, he would scream and not eat. It was horrendous. But you know what? I felt, as a mom, the antidote to this is love. Is love. And I think I showed more love to him than all of the others. And he is today, thank you, Lord, God in heaven, thank you, Father, the sweetest child. I really believe I fed him more love than I did the others. And I rave about all my kids. They're grown men, and I'm proud of them. But that one young son received so much love, and I see the fruit. Now, God wants us to see ourselves like that. He's pouring out love daily, 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 daily. The love on the cross goes forth, and it doesn't stop. It's eternal. For us to see ourselves so strong, so precious in the eyes of God. If we could see, if we could feel how much he loves us, if we could see him even lighting up when he sees us. God loves us, and he is in love with us. And I think that should be our daily food. We think about this all the time and receive it. I don't deserve it. But God's love. Because he is love, wants us to know how much he loves us. And when we're going through hard times, right away, because I had a father who was very hard on us, and I was always punished. I don't even know what I could have done. Little girl, I was always punished. He'd hit me so hard, I'd have a mark on my face all day long. My mother wouldn't want anyone to come to the house to see the mark on my face. They might see the mark on my face. Very, very, very hard. So for me to realize, what kind of a godly father do I have? God is my father. He doesn't call himself a taskmaster or this or that. Father. Father. And I often speak about that because it's so exciting and it's so wonderful. And it opens up a whole new world. And David, in the Bible, David walked in that, you see. Because when he was out in the field and he'd play a little tune, he'd worship God. He was with his lambs, his sheep. He was out in that field, and God said, "Already, you're going to be a king. I've chosen you. I've heard your worship. I've heard your heart. I felt your love. I felt your dedication. And I'm going to raise you up to be king. So this little shepherd out on the field, God had his eyes on him. God has his eyes on us. He really does. And I think he sings over us. Doesn't the Bible say that? With gladness, with love, with joy. I think he's a proud daddy, because even though we make mistakes, he sees Jesus in us. He sees our spirit in us, that we want to do better and we want to be closer and we have a hunger for him. All of these things excite our Father. They really do. How fair in the Song of Solomon the Lord says of his bride. This is chapter 7, verse 6. The Lord says of his bride, how fair and how pleasant art thou. These words describe Jesus' thoughts toward his bride, as I said, and he beholds her. She boasts, I am my beloved, and his desire is toward me. Very, very important to believe this personally. You are his bride. And that it's so much I can't even go there. I wouldn't even know where to start, really. I understand it's romance. I understand it's deeper than that. I understand that his love for us is so, there's so much depth. But why, Jesus? Why did you die for little puny human beings? Because I love you. Because I see more in you than you see in yourselves. Isaiah had a revelation of God's great desire, God's great delight in us. He prophesied, Isaiah did, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, and I have called you by your name. You are mine. We are joined with Israel. And when Israel is awakened, imagine God has been waiting for Israel, for his people, to be awakened. In the meantime, he has raised up us, another people, that he's very proud of. But he wants us to know that he has redeemed us and he has called us by our names. Isaiah 43. Let's go there, please. Those of you that... Isaiah chapter 43. Let's look at this word, this precious, beautiful word. I don't know how much else. All right. The word says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. Now you know this is also for us, and one day Israel will awaken to this. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. What a portion of scripture to read right now with what's going in the land of Israel. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Saba in your place, since you were precious in my sight. You have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have formed him. And so I look at this portion of scripture, and I see that, you know, he has let some fall to the side, by the wayside. He has let some, perhaps those that would never come in. But his eyes are on Israel, and his eyes are on the church. And we will be united with Israel one day. And I think maybe God will get up and do a dance. I know Jesus will be singing. I know Jesus will be dancing. I know Jesus will maybe take some of us and maybe all of us and twirl around and dance with him, for the time has come. Amen. You know, David Wilkinson, if anybody knows Pastor Diane, they probably know that I always just loved that man, David Wilkinson. And I everything that he taught, you know, we used to get the newsletters, the David Wilkinson's newsletters, and I would read like line by line by line and underline, and I couldn't get enough of his heart, because I knew about his past, I knew what he went through, and I knew that he was after people's hearts, you know, and he went into the craziest, darkest places, as we spoke of before, and almost got shot and almost got so many things, but he would go in with the word of the Lord. He would go in with the word of the Lord. And the worst of the worst, he would go face to face with them and speak. And David Wilkinson, when he spoke, I mean, there were probably very small amount of messages that it didn't start to cry, because he was so tender. So tender. And so anything that came from David Wilkinson, if I could listen to him anywhere, I never met him. We did go to the church, I can't think of the name of it right now, City, Times Square. We did go there, and we did meet his brother. In fact, his brother came here years ago and spoke. And we did meet, you know, a lot of beautiful, beautiful men and women there. And there was a picture, a big picture painting of David Wilkinson. But you know what? Every man and every woman, no matter how successful we are in the things of God, we sometimes get weak. We sometimes get confused. We sometimes have a lot of questions. Doesn't it happen? Doesn't it happen? Because a thought will go into our mind. It's a seed. And when we think about that sort, that seed, that thought, we're watering it, and it begins to grow in our minds. The mind belongs to God. We are his body, soul, mind, right? But mankind will think negatively. And that's what happened with David. David was so strong in the Lord, so romantically involved with God. And some thoughts came into his mind. And David Wilkinson explained Isaiah wasn't talking about a literal flood. When the word of God says, I will be with you through the waters and the rivers, and I will walk with you through the fire. He said he wasn't talking about, he, you know, did research, a flood or fire. He was talking about what people go through spiritually and mentally. Israel was in captivity at the time. Their floods were trials. Their fires were temptations, and their rivers were testings. So we go through trials, temptations, and testings, because sometimes it's not that easy down here. But as we walk with the Lord and we keep our eyes on the Lord, every fire, everything that we go through, we come out ahead and stronger. And God is strengthening his church today. These were all Satan's attempts to destroy and overwhelm God's people with trials, temptations, testings, and God turns all of that around to mature us, to bring us closer, right? Also, to have more compassion on others that are going through those things. Sometimes God will allow these trials. He doesn't always keep the trials from coming, yet he does promise this: I will walk with you through it all. This trial or circumstance will not destroy you. I won't let it consume you. So walk on. You will come out on the other side with me beside you. Amen. Amen. You know, I think of our brother Rich and all that he went through. All that he went through. And he probably could write a book. But he can look back, because I know him and I know he is faithful to look back and to be able to say, wow, I'm all the more closer to God because of it. I'm even stronger in my faith because of it. God loves us so much that the trials that we go through will end up being a blessing if we keep our eyes on him and we don't allow thoughts to come in that the enemy will shoot at us. Well, there'll always be a wonderful increase. God is all about that. And we're increasing in love for him. Are you? Amen. Yes. Yes. We're increasing in an understanding of him. We're increasing in being able to trust him more. We're increasing. There's an increase. And another increase, and another increase, another measure upon measure, upon measure, upon measure, until we see Jesus Christ face to face. He's about to work a very, very good work in us. We are the church. I will be beside you. Godly men in the world gave into ungodly thoughts. And the word tells us to guard our hearts and minds. And sometimes we have to speak to ourselves and ask, what am I thinking? We're so weak. But thank God, he is strong in us. The enemy wants to weaken the church. Now, David in the Bible, his thoughts weakened him. David became to a place where he was very weak. And you know, when he was 16 years old, he received the prophecy about a shepherd becoming a king. He was 16 years old. He was that shepherd and would become that king. He was anointed. He was a man came and from God. And I'm sure that David must have accepted some of that. It must have been so anointed when he said it that he must have had like yokes inside of him breaking, and he must have walked away with them. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And to keep those things at the forefront of our minds is what the Spirit of God works with us to do, to keep our eyes on the things that are lovely and pure. You know the scripture. And the enemy will be there and say, how old are you? You're not going to be here much longer. Whatever. Whatever. Listen to what David thought. It started in his mind and it went to his heart. In 1 Samuel 27:1, David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. That is 1 Samuel 27:1. After he's anointed as king, he's prophesied over. He knows that was real. He knows that wasn't phony. That wasn't just somebody saying something nice to him. He knew the power of it. He knew it. And yet, he says, this is how I'm going to die. Saul the king was jealous of him. And spirits would come into Saul. And Saul would do all kinds of ugly things that, that king in those days, and he said, I'm going to die this hand. He's going to kill me. What? What? And that took place in his mind. It was a seed. I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Psalm 18:19. The reason God delivered me from all my enemies, from all my sorrows, and the powers of hell is because I am precious to him. David said that. And that's beautiful. And it's truth. 18:19, Psalm chapter 18, verse 19. The reason God delivered me from all my enemies, from all my sorrows, and the powers of hell is because I am precious to him. Because he delighted in me. And I think that's maybe my key scripture. Because he delighted in me. That is so awesome. God delights in us. That's truth. My God delights in me. He brought me forth also to a large place, he said. He delivered me because he delights in me. This is what David said. And then he turned around and said, Saul is going to kill me one day. King Saul is after me, and I'm going to die by the sword. God promised David would reign on the throne over the people of God. He knew that. But he was weakened by his thoughts. Were you ever there? Let's see. Were you ever there? Were you ever weakened by a thought? Did this ever happen to you? You're having a good day, everything's okay, and all of a sudden you think of something and you're, oh. Did that ever happen to you? You normal people. You're supposed to be supernatural. Super duper. And David went through the same things. But God promised David he would reign on the throne over the people of God. God also promised he would shower down his goodness on David's bloodline. It's promises in the word of God that they would have a dynasty and the blessing of David's generations would not end. Now look at that. How he could have seen in the far off. He could have accepted it all, and this one guy, this crazy man, is after him and darkening his mind and his spirit and his heart. I'm going to die by the hand of Saul. This guy's going to put a sword through me. You know, we're all the same. And David was a wonderful, wonderful servant of God. Beautiful man of God. He made mistakes, and he wept and was broken over the mistakes that he made. But because of fear, David lost the vision and received an evil vision from his enemy instead of his royal blessing spoken over him. We see how our minds can work when a bad thought enters and plants a bad seed. God chose David because God saw his heart was good. And that's a scripture. Did David forget the scripture? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's Psalm 34:7. Delight yourself in the Lord. You love the Lord? You hear the Lord when you read the word? You pray to God? Delight yourself in the Lord. Let this be your excited portion of life. You delight in God. And God is so delightful when you delight in him. Because look at that scripture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. When you delight yourself in the Lord, your desires also do line up with God's. That doesn't mean that God doesn't anger, but he is slow to anger. We always have to be sure we are reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus. Just the blood of Jesus. Just the blood? What am I talking about? My God, we are reconciled by the blood of His Son, the Holy One, the Savior. Reconciled. And so we can delight ourselves in God, and we are delightful to God. We believe. We're believers. We believe in Him. He's slow to anger. Now, I'm going to quote some things from David Wilkerson. Like I said, he was a weeping prophet. He would cry a lot, but he was very happy on the inside. And like I said, he went to the most dangerous places, and he brought the word of God. And some of the most evil people were brought to God through his obedience to the Lord. And I'm quoting, "I believe," he said, "the church will never understand the importance of prayer until we grasp one fundamental truth." And this is very, very important. Church will never understand the importance of prayer until we grasp one fundamental truth. Simply put, prayer is not just for our own benefit. Now, before I finish that, let me say that David Wilkerson used to have visions, like he was watching a TV screen, okay? He would have a vision, it would come to pass. In fact, he wrote a book called The Vision. I have it at home. It's all the pages come out. I have to try to keep it all together. He had visions about this time that we're living in and the time to come. So it's a book that can wake you up. And so he would get visions, and then he would go on a Sunday to the church. He was the pastor, the lead pastor of Times Square Church. And when he would get a vision, he would then write what he saw, and he would deliver it many times. Prayer, he said, is not just for our own benefit or relief for others, but rather for the delight of the Lord. God also enjoys intimacy and communion with us in our prayer life. When we come into His presence to pray, focus your attention on fellowship with Him. He knows what your needs are, right? So, of course, we have a need, and we want to go to God, and we want to pray that through. He already knows it, right? But it's the coming to God where God rejoices inside of Himself. Where God loves when we come to Him in prayer. I don't see prayer the same as I used to until I read this. He said that when we come and pray to God, it is such intimacy with God. It's intimacy with God. We're opening up from our hearts. He's looking into our hearts. And David Wilkerson had that vision of this. He tried to put it down on paper. So we come to pray, but we have to focus our attention on fellowshipping with Him. He already knows our need. Prayer should be that when we run to Him and that He enjoys the pleasure of our company, prayer should be an intimate time with Him. You know, it's like I woke up about this, because when I would go to pray with the Lord, I mean, we'll get into worship or get into being with the Lord, His presence, when you feel Him with you, you know, it's so good, and if you're praying and you're feeling with them, that's so good. But it's like a meeting place David Wilkinson said, it's like when you meet with God. Yes, you have a need, and you go to your Father. It's a blessing to God when we come to Him in prayer. I see prayer differently. Does anybody else? He said we should run to Him, and He enjoys the pleasure of our company. And the prayer should be an intimate time with the Lord. You should go into a room and close the door. God already loves it. It's blessing the Father's heart. Continually coming back to Him until you receive from the Lord while you're shut in with Him. The Bible tells us to go in your room, shut the door when you pray. It is a holy meeting. I'm not just going to go pray or cry or try to get His attention. It's a holy meeting that God is actually enjoying. It's not about just getting answers, but pleasing Him at the same time. God actually looks forward to us coming to Him in prayer. Wow. Hey, He's coming into the room. That's where we meet, and He prays to me. He opens up His heart, and I pour down on Him. It's actually something that blesses God that He gets excited over. I don't know what kind of a vision He saw, but first thing is, don't be afraid. I am with you. I mean, when I read the scripture before, don't be afraid. I am with thee. Isn't that the best? Being in His presence should make us strong, ready to fight the good fight of faith, not the difficult fight, the good fight. And rest, knowing He hears you. He enjoys when we pray and He listens. When we sense victory, the answer is coming. So here you are, along with God, and you're praying, and all of a sudden, you feel the connection. There's a connection here. And you sense victory coming. The answer is coming. You know He heard you, and you begin to see through to the other side of what you're praying for. Your faith is building. Excited in His presence, we have a feeling of wellness and acceptance. Prayer is exciting. When you have God's presence in prayer, it builds up your most holy faith. When you have His presence, when you pray, you're building up your most holy faith. And that's a scripture, most holy faith. Holy Spirit will give you scriptures and promises. Christ is the living word. Take your time and look into the word where your promises are. David had promises that God spoke to him, but he would lose the vision. He would be surrounded. The enemy was after him. He had to run into caves and hide. And he said, someday it's going to happen. He's going to kill me. But yet David wrote so much of this that we're even speaking about today. But how easily we can forget because of a thought and a feeling. Let's go back to the truth and get the feeling of excitement, acceptance, of glory, and of God listening, and of God doing things. And he said, you should reach a point, he was saying, where you feel it's done. Right? Don't stop praying, because God looks for that. He looks for you in that room alone with the door closed. We're really having communion when we pray. And he said, take time to really look into the word where your promises are. When we enjoy it, we can know our prayers are pleasing to God. When you're praying and you're getting excited, our faith rises. David Wilkinson spoke, "We know from Scripture God is going to shake the whole earth. In fact, the word describes that in 1 hour, God will change the whole world." Now, that's what the vision, the book, the vision is about. And if you don't have it, get it. I mean, because mine is like, I have to hold it all together because the pages all fell out. But when he wrote that book, The Vision, it is for now. It is for now. I remember Debbie Cappuccio recently put on, did I say Debbie? I'm sorry, Denise. You know, I get ahead of myself, and the tongue isn't as quick as the brain. So Denise said that she got her book out, The Vision by David Wilkerson, and she said, it's all happening now. And it was something, because that same week, I found that book in my library, and I sat down and was saying like, oh my gosh, this is for now, this is the hour, this is the hour. So God is going to shake the whole earth. In fact, the word describes that in 1 hour, God will change the whole world. World Trade Center, he said, will be destroyed. It will be like the shaking of an olive tree. Everything's falling. Isaiah 24:14, in the midst of a dark hour, a worldwide chorus of voices will sing praises to the majesty of God. They will lift up their voice. They shall cry out loud. So in the midst of this dark hour, the chorus of voices will be singing to the majesty of God, and they shall lift up their voice. They shall cry out loud. I believe that's angelic hosts and us together. Isaiah 24:15-16. Holy remnant will be awakened, and a song will be born as they cry. The holy remnant will completely be awakened at that time. And from the ends of the earth, we have heard songs. Glory to the righteous. Instead of panicking, God's people will praise his awesome majesty in one collective voice rising by the millions out of every nation. He said, so when calamity strikes, I guess it's maybe the worst of times, it's the best of times also. And he said, there will be choirs singing all around the world, singing together, the body of Christ, singing, praising him, worshiping him. Maybe we'll have to get into worship because we won't feel comfortable anywhere else. But there will be this rush of voices going up into heaven. He had that vision. And as that is taking place, God will be regenerating and restoring the church. Dry bones will shake and rattle. Shake, rattle, and roll. Holy Spirit will call many, like lukewarm believers, back to their first love in those days. Godly sorrow and repentance will move across the world from Arab nations to China, Indonesia, Africa, and all corners of the globe all in one day. Wow. What an hour. And then verse 7 says, many will see the Lord in his glory. God will open up our eyes. But who was it that when he was being stoned? Stephen. He looked up and he saw Jesus standing and looking down at him. So I think that David Wilkerson was saying those kinds of things are going to be happening. We're going to need those kinds of things as we move from moment to moment, right? Imagine the wonder of what will be going on, the things that God will be doing, and making sure that his church is seeing this, the bright side, the good side of things. opening our eyes to see tremendous things. Many will see the Lord in his glory at that time. Many will harden their hearts and curse God at the sound of this song. He said, there will be a song arising from all four corners of the earth. But listen, church, there's a new song arising in the hearts of his people today. Amen. Presidents, kings, the world's richest and most famous will tremble. False altars will be torn down, and I thought, by earthquakes? Presidents, kings, the richest. America is now facing tremendous financial disasters. God loves us so much, people. He is forewarning. Yet, the true church will have a calm in their spirit. Should I say that again? The true church will have a calm or calmness in their spirit. And imagine these times if we're still here. And I believe that, you know, I want to believe that we will be. And imagine this is all happening, horrible things around the world, but you know that your redemption is drawing near. Here we are. This is something we've talked about all our lives. The redemption of the Lord. And it's coming. It's coming soon. Wow. Wow. God loves us so much, he is forewarning. Yet the church, as I said, will have a calm in her spirit. There will be sorrow, and we will comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of hope and salvation. So we should be putting on our wedding gown. That's how I see it. Just like be sober, putting the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet of hope and salvation. Arm yourself with faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. Build up your belief now before the day comes. Yet, this is a time of preparation. Amen? Where right now is a little bit of a hush in our own worlds and a time of preparation to truly wake up, to truly accept what the Word of God says, to begin truly walking in it. And I think we should be looking up all the time. Is it today, Lord? Like when we first got saved. Is it today? Therefore, glorify the Lord in the dawning light, the name of the Lord God of Israel in the coastlands of the sea. Glorify the Lord. You know, it's going to get dark, but we will see a light. Our lights won't go out. Remember, he sustains us with a soothing presence. Because we are like his little children. Amen? We are like his little children. And like I thought of my son Joey, that I poured more love inside of him. That's what I felt to do. And I see. And God is pouring out a love. Can you feel it? Can you sense it? Can you hear his heartbeat for you? I believe that we will feel that love more and more as we see the day approaching. And that love will be our fuel. Nothing like it. He sustains his people with a soothing presence. Be secure in his love. We will become a people of total dependence of God. And we will let the Holy Spirit comfort us in all our trials. And we will keep our minds on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's the holy place. That's the place to get into. That our hearts and our minds, because we have to protect our minds. So every word that proceeds out of the mouth of our God, cling to it, live in it, believe it, walk in it. Don't let go. Know God. Know that He is so faithful to His children. Know that you were called for such a time as this. Know that He will have a resting place. As the world is in an uproar, there will be a holy resting place. Know that when you pray, you go alone with God to pray. He loves that moment. He actually wants to hear the cry of our hearts, our prayers. It is holy to Him because you're coming to Him. You have needs, or you're praying for the needs of others. And it is a beautiful meeting place, a wonderful time. You can pray for yourself. You can cry out, He's your Father. You can pray for others. He's their Father, and you're praying for some of His children. He actually enjoys that. Let us look at prayer in a different way. Amen. Would you stand with me? God, you are good. You are good. And your mercy endures forever. God, you have plans, Lord. You have plans for each one of your children. You have anointed each one of your children. Your eyes are on your sons and daughters. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You are awakening us, God. And every time we hear your word, Lord God, we feel more love, the love that you have for us, and we fall into a greater love with you. With you. Spirit of God, would you guide us into all truth? It is the truth that sets us free. So would you guide us when we pray, when we get consumed with things, when we start to get weary or we worry. Spirit of the living God, remind us that God is in control and that God's eyes are on us. He would never leave nor forsake us. And He has a role for us in this time and in this hour. And He will empower those. He will empower those whose eyes are open, whose ears are open, whose hearts are tender. He will empower us as we can't even put it in our imagination. But Lord God, we lift up our minds to you today, that we would not be weak-minded, God. That, Father, we would put a shield, you would put a shield over our minds, Lord God, that whatever the enemy shoots at us will not penetrate. Father, we want to keep our minds on you. We want to love you with our whole soul, everything that we've got with our minds, Lord God. Father, alarm us when we're thinking of something that might weaken us. David was weakened by his thoughts, but he came through, Lord God. And I know that your eyes are on us and will come through, but we're praying, and you made it clear to us today that you love when we pray. You love it. We're not in a door alone, in a room alone with the door shut. We're together, but the corporate prayer also, Lord God, you hear it, and you love it, Lord God. We're asking, Father, for your keeping power to be upon all of us, Lord, and that your guidance will be known by all of us, Lord God, your strength, Lord God. And Father, we want to believe, we want to have more faith, because it is faith that pleases you. And we want to please you, Lord. Increase it, Lord. Increase it. Give us a knowledge when we read the word. A knowledge, Lord God. Father, let us study the word. Let us look up scriptures and find out what they mean, Lord, and go before you, God, because it is the word that feeds us. It is your love that fuels us. It is the word that shows us your love. Father, thank you that you've called us for such a time as this. Thank you, Lord God, that we are growing in the Spirit, in your presence. Thank you for feeding us, for watering us, Lord God, like your little plants, for causing your glory to shine down on us like the sun. You are good, good God. We are in awesome hands. We can't thank you enough, Lord. You are so good. Thank you for your patience. Your love endures forever. Thank you, Father. So I pray, Father, that the seeds that were sown today would be kept watered and there would be an increase. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord.